This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Richard Adarosa of Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida, next to the beautiful Lake Okeechobee, where we minister to the people around the lake and the surrounding areas. We have church services on Sunday. We begin at 10 a.m. We also have a Christian school with about 36 young people, and we're ministering to the basic needs of many students who either have special needs or perhaps having difficulty in schools that they were previously in. We also have a pantry and a thrift store where we're able to help the needy in the city of Pahokee and the surrounding areas. And so we are so thankful and blessed to be able to bring the Word of God to you today. So let's just open up with prayer. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the mighty Word. We thank you that your Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, that as the Word goes forth, it'll touch many hearts and it'll bring fruit. We thank you, Father, that that fruit shall remain and that people shall go out and win the world to Jesus. Father, today, we thank you that you put in us a desire and a greater knowledge and understanding of the compassion of our Lord. And so we give you all praise and all thanks in advance for every good thing that will happen to every listener who is a doer of the word in Jesus' name. I would like you to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 145. I want to share with you the compassion of the Lord today. I've spent a lot of time in the past studying this particular subject, and if you can get your hands on a tape series done by Brother Hagen called the Compassion of the Lord series, it's wonderful. The other book to get is Christ the Healer, written by F.F. Bosworth, and his particular chapter on the compassion of the Lord is absolutely amazing. It'll change your life as you understand what God's will is concerning that. So I hope you found the Psalm 145. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. I'm reading from the King James Version as normally I do. And verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." You know, a lot of people, or at least I used to think this way when I first became a Christian, was that God would only heal Christians and God would only help Christians, and all of his focus was on a Christian. And if you weren't a Christian or a believer in Jesus, then God wasn't going to help you at all. He was mad at you. But the truth of the matter is that God provides salvation for all men, and that salvation is available for all. But when it starts out here, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." And so we need to understand that God is not just a God of mercy. We understand that. Excuse me, but he's also a God of truth. And he's gracious. Now, we talked in the past and we've shared that the word grace or being gracious is more than just to be disposed to show favor. But it's also talking about his power and his anointing and his willingness and ability to do for you what you can't do yourself. And that's why we must strongly lean on the grace of God. That's something that's really been working in my heart in this year. And we've been teaching a lot about the grace of God in the ministry at church. But he's gracious. He's gracious and he's full of compassion. So God is filled with compassion. God is filled. God is love. God has everything in abundance, Christians. It says he's slow to anger and of great mercy. Now, we sometimes think, and I got to share with you a little story. My first wife, who passed on to the Lord in the mid-90s, we had some difficulties in our marriage, and so we went to the pastor, and the pastor counseled us, and the pastor got so frustrated with us, he eventually sent us to a Christian counselor, And it turns out this particular Christian counselor was someone who is relatively new as a Christian and had a lot of interesting thoughts. But maybe it's not as strange because you might have thought the same thing yourself. Of course, don't tell anybody because we don't want you to get found out. But she believed that Jesus was good. I mean, he was God, he was good, and that Father God was the heavy. You know, he was the one that had the mallet and would strike you down. And so Jesus was like the mom and the father was like the dad. And so Jesus was good to us and the father was mean. But the truth of the matter, and eventually the counseling with her didn't work and she ended up going off the deep end and eventually transferred to another church. But the bottom line is this. God is gracious. He's full of compassion. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So God, the Father, and Jesus, and Holy Spirit, they're all one. They're all of the same mind and purpose and ideas, and they all work together. They're three separate persons, but they're all one God. And so we see here that the Lord is slow to anger. He doesn't get angry quickly. He's not like us some of the times where we just little things can tip us off. He's slow to anger and of great mercy. And he says, the Lord is good to all. I want you to notice that he's not just good to some. The Lord is good to the drug dealer. The Lord is good to the drug user. The Lord is good to the man or woman who's on death row because they've murdered people. God is good to all. That means Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist, any religion you can think of, God is good to that person, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, whether a person is born again or not, it doesn't mean they didn't come from God. They came from God. He's the Father of spirits. And so God loves his creation, and God eagerly yearns for us to have a relationship with him. When it says that he's full of compassion, it referring to as a particular way of expounding this, he's full of eager yearning. That's what that means. He has eager yearning. God eagerly yearns to meet the needs of his creation. And so that's just the thing. And so a lot of people have put all sorts of bad news on God and blamed it on him for world hunger and children starving and crises. They've all blamed it on God. Insurance company says, well, it's an act of God. No, it's not an act of God. It's an act of the devil. It's a result of sin. And God is not that way. God is just as willing to heal as he is to forgive. God is just as willing to heal as he is to bring salvation. And his compassion is his eager yearning to meet the needs of mankind. You know, Oral Roberts popularized the phrase, God is a good God. I'm here to remind you of that. Anytime a thought comes into your mind that God is behind something bad or something evil, quickly cast that thought down. That's what the devil would love you to think. But God is love, and it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. A person who really knows God can really be released from the power of fear, a spiritual force, and can quickly become a force of faith in the earth. And so as we read through these scriptures, we see that he's full of tender yearning. He's slow to anger. It says here in verse 9, his tender mercies are over all his works. So this is how, when you study it in the Greek, this is kind of how it plays out. It's as though that his tender mercies are over a person, like a branch and some leaves and some smaller branches and some smaller leaves, a very delicate, intricate covering that God is that way over you. And the way you can operate in it in your life is by believing that his tender mercies are over you. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Part of our confession and part of what we need to build into our spirit, the word, is that God is gracious and he's full of compassion. He's not half empty. He's not half full. He's full. He's full. He has an abundance of compassion. He's slow to anger. He's not mad at you. He's not the austere judge waiting to whack you and to put you down. No, that's not the way he is. And he's of great mercy. He's good to all. He's good to everyone. He's good to your enemies. He's good to them. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, I want to share with you some of the practical things about compassion. And so if you look at Matthew chapter 14 for just a minute, and I think this might have been a verse of scripture that we looked at last week, but as we were sharing the word concerning the grace of God, and as we further shared the word about how nothing is too hard for God, you remember that? That was last week. Nothing's too hard for God. So let's go to Matthew chapter 14 and let's see what the scriptures are telling us there. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 14. It says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Now, it doesn't say that he healed most of the sick. It doesn't say there that, well, there were a few that didn't quite get it. He said he healed their sick. And if you'll do a study of the Bible, and we're going to look at another verse of scripture here very shortly, you're going to find out that when Jesus was moved with compassion, that tremendous results took place. In this particular case, as in other situations and other parts of scripture, he healed all their sick. I mean, isn't it wonderful to be able to have a healing ministry where you're able to heal all the sick? I mean, most of us who have prayed for the sick, we've seen some success. Sometimes we have more success than in other times. But I can't think of a time in ministry when I prayed for everyone and everyone got healed. But it says here that Jesus was moved with compassion for them and he healed their sick. Their sick got healed this day. And what was different about he was moved with compassion? See, there's times, there's something supernatural about his tender, eager yearning. It's part of the fact that God is a God of love, that God is love more than anything else. And his love yearns to channel the power of God through you. That's why God so much wants us to develop in our love nature, in the fruit of the Spirit, which is really the outward manifestation of the love of God, the very character and personality of Jesus. And so it says here that he healed their sick. And part of his compassion had to do with the fact that there were many multitudes there, and that he was going to work another miracle as he fed all these people. I want you to look at Luke chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, go to Luke. And I want you to look at Luke chapter 7, because this is a beautiful set of verses of scripture to really expound upon the very compassion of Almighty God. So it says here in Luke chapter 7, "Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, do not weep." Now, there's a lot of things that we're going to see in these verses of scripture, so stay with me. I think it's interesting that as they're going, there's a son who is dead, and it was her only son. And I don't know if that triggered something in Jesus, because after all, he was the Son of Almighty God, the Father. In fact, he was the only son of God. So perhaps something happened on the inside of him. And it says, "And when he saw her, he had compassion." You see, he saw this situation and something welled up on the inside of him, the tender, eager yearning of the Father and of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. Compassion, the true compassion of the Lord. I'm talking about the fact that on the inside of you, you're in the very inside, in the very core of your being, God wells up in compassion for a situation. And often it's based on the seeing of a need. I tell people all the time in our church, don't look for the miracles and healings here. Go out where the needs are. Go out into the world. Put yourself into the place where God can use you to minister to others. A lot of folks in church, bless God, I know they need healing, and we can pray for them and believe in faith, and sometimes gifts are in manifestation. I understand that. But primarily, God's called us to go into all the world to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. And I tell people, you want to see miracles, get out there and start ministering to the people that are not in the four church walls. Haven't seen any miracles? Well, put yourself in the place where the miracles are needed. Put yourself in the place where only a miracle will do. I'm going to preach that someday. Only a miracle will do. And so, seeing this here, the compassion of the Lord begins to well up in him. I like what Rick Renner says. He kind of explains the compassion of the Lord this way, as it's something that happens on the inside of you, something in the bowels that creates an upset or creates something that causes one to reach out. And it's something that happens not based on asking for it, but it's something that happens based on the need that exists around you. And so he said, don't weep. Now, why would he say don't weep? Well, obviously, he's trying to get this particular group of people into a position where they can receive God. You know, you can get so, I mean, crying, I understand the crying, but sometimes you can go crazy and allow your emotions, and your emotions, listen, will talk you right out of a miracle. Your emotions can talk you right out of healing. Your emotions can talk you out of peace. Now, I think I'm preaching pretty good now. I don't know about you think. But we're not to be led by emotions. We're to be led by the Spirit. And in this particular case, the compassion of the Lord is welled up. And he came and touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. There's another good sermon there. God has visited his people. God desires to visit his people. And the reason that I share these messages with you is so that you will be inspired and that you will work and develop your faith and launch out into the world. Launch out into the healing power of God. Launch out into the miracle working power of God. Put yourself where the needs are and dare to be bold. Dare to boldly profess the word of God and allow the compassion of the Lord to well up on the inside of you. Compassion will always compel you to do something. So allow the compassion of the Lord compel you to do something. As we said before, we think God is like us sometimes. Love today, hate tomorrow. But one of God's favorite ways of getting people's attention is healing. And God uses the compassion, his compassion, of who we are around or in contact, or even yourself or myself, to get people's attention, to arrest their attention. And so we need to quit judging and analyzing people's situations and just start operating in the compassion of God. Sometimes when we see a need, the first thing we think of, I wonder how they got that way. It's probably because they didn't get fed right. It's probably because the mother drank during her pregnancy. It's probably because of this. It's probably because of that. And so we're so tuned into the natural, so tuned into our own reasoning that we miss the word of knowledge, we miss the word of wisdom, and we're not being sensitive to the Spirit of God because we grieve Him by judging other people. So don't judge other people. You see, His love yearns to channel that compassion, that power through you. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 4. And I really hope this is ministering and helping somebody today. I believe it is. And it sure makes me feel good. Sure makes me happy to be able to share the Word of God with you every week. John, 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 8. It says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now, we could preach 30 minutes just on that verse of Scripture. But God has many things. But He is love. If there was a word, and if I said, "Tell me a word that describes God." Well, we could say He's compassionate, He's upright, He's righteous, He's just. We can come up with a bunch, and we're right. But the word that describes Him, the sum total of God is love. God is love. You know, I begin to think that one of the greatest enemies that the church has to deal with is fear and all of its fruit, like worry and anxiety. That's one of the biggest things that plagues the body of Christ today. But in the Scriptures, in the Epistle of John, he said that perfect love or mature love drives out fear. But once you drive out fear, you've driven out anxiety, you've driven out worry, and we are to cast our cares upon the Lord. We know that because He cares for us. He's not going to just come grab them off you. He's not going to take your knapsack of difficulty and just lift it off your back. It says we have to do that. Because faith is approaching God. We approach God by faith. And verse 9 says, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us." How did God manifest His love to us? Now, how did God manifest Himself to us? That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. His purpose for you and I. The purpose for which Jesus was sent was that we might live through Him. When you have Jesus, you have life. You have salvation. But He wants you to live through Him. He wants you to abide in Him. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And God is a God of compassion. Yes, He's a God of truth. But God is very compassionate. And God, I believe, through the message is saying to us today, in these last days that we're living in these difficult times, be a conduit of the compassion of God. Allow God to manifest His precious compassion in you and through you. And let the miraculous take place. It's important that we have faith and believe that God is love. And don't worry so much about the power of it. A lot of us, we all want to operate in the power of God because it's cool. I mean, everybody likes to, you know, we'd all like to grab the electric wires. It'll give us a big jolt. But you know, God doesn't want us to focus necessarily on His power. God wants us to focus on the fact that He's love. And when His love is developed in you to the extent that God desires for it, let me tell you something, folks. The love and the power will come when fear is gone and faith is built up. Because you remember the Scripture says, "But faith which worketh by love." Well, how do I enter the grace of God? I enter into the grace of God by faith. Faith worketh by love. Focus on the love of God. Meditate on the love of God. Now, there are times when we need to call on His compassion. There's nothing wrong with calling on His mercy. You see, God desires for His compassion to flow through His body to touch the hearts of the world that's there. God is searching to and fro to demonstrate his mercy on the earth. Can he use you? Are you a person that's willing to be sensitive and a person who's spirit-led and is knowledgeable and willing to operate and allow his mercy to come? He's so much love that he's looking for how to minister to humanity. He's full of so much love. Now, one of the things I hadn't told you yet, and I really do hope you get the book F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. A lot of people have been healed just reading that book, and I would say that it's probably one of the best out there. F.F. Bosworth, in his book on the compassion of the Lord, describes the compassion of Jesus like this. He says, if the whole Pacific Ocean was held over the top of your head, God would be looking for every little opening for that power and compassion to drip on you. God's compassion is endless. It's unlimitless. And he's looking to let that compassion fall and flow through you. And so I would say to you today, don't deny God the pleasure of being who he is. Remove every obstacle in your life that would prevent his love from manifesting in you and through you. Peter and John, when they went to heal the man at the gate called Beautiful, who had been there for many years, they remember when Jesus sent them out to minister to the sick and said, don't bring anything with you. You're not going to need it because I'm going to take care of you. And Peter and John remembered that. And they said to this man of the with the infirmity, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. You see, that's what we want to be able to say about our lives. You can't give somebody what you don't have. And so, really seek God about getting his love deeply and richly into your heart, into your spirit man. So that, and then practice the love walk. Intentionally do things. Love will lead you to do things sometimes that you wouldn't even believe you'd do. Like the mom whose child is killed by a drunk driver, going and saying to the drunk driver, I forgive you. Just see how much power is released during that. Or Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so today, as we've studied a little bit about the compassion of God, I want to spend a minute to pray with you. Father, we thank you for the people that are listening to the radio broadcast today. We thank you that themselves or perhaps others that they know are in need of a touch from God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we release the anointing of God to bring healing, to effect a cure in their bodies. Father, we declare that infirmity has to go in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise for every good thing because you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope this particular ministry message blessed you, and we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183 in Pahokee, Florida, 33476, or you can call us at the church or at the office at 561-924-7776. And until we...
Rick Gentry, you've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.